There's almost nothing. And if you go into that culture, honestly, you will find very soon that almost all the work is done by women. There are a few things. Now, I realize that in the past there were certain things men had to do, like trading, where they went from one place to another, that are no longer necessary. But it is a very female-oriented labor force, very much. Very much so. Even in the Arab areas, you'll see the old women sitting on the ground under the olive tree, on the tarp, the young women up in the tree, or the kids, the middle-aged women with a stick beating the tree, and they're picking up those olives that they beat out of the tree, and the man sitting on a bucket in the shade, pointing out, hey, you missed one up there. I mean, I've seen that. So, honestly, the men were not the people. Now, shearing sheep, that's typically a man's job in that culture. It's a little bit hard to tell exactly how much it's changed because of the European influence. Somebody last night said, oh, I was in Israel and I saw an Arab shepherd and they had dogs. Sure, that's what the British brought there in the 1800s. So in the Arab areas affected by the British, you'll see trained dogs. Although dogs are often there to fight off hyenas, not as much to herd the sheep. So it's sometimes a little bit hard to tell. While you're finding your seats, I've got a bunch of questions here. So I'll pick the first one. Explain the meaning of the pinky. In the Hebrew Bible, it says, Exodus, I believe it's 9, don't catch me on the chapter, but it's during the 10 plagues, God says, or it says of God, he will bring his people out of Egypt with his little finger. The idea being, Pharaoh thinks he's so big and tough, my little finger is going to blow Pharaoh away like a feather. Imagine what God's bicep can do. So the Jews developed an idea that God, the little finger represents that God, if all you give me is your little finger, it's bigger than any problem I'll ever face. Did they hold up the little finger? Probably not. But Jesus once said, when they were amazed that he could drive out demons, Jesus said, I drive out demons with the finger of God. Probably in that same tradition. Some Orthodox Jews, including the group that I studied with in, they, when they say Shema, extend the little finger to say to God, your little finger is more powerful than anything else I know. So that's why the little finger is used. Let me try another one. I was very fortunate. The first one I knew the answer to. That one I'm going to wait. That's a good question. Do you know who will be the next Republican nominee? No. What was the significance of 40? 40 is preparation. Always you do 40 to get ready for something big. 40 years in the desert, we go to the promised land. 40 years in the desert, Moses leads the people. 40 months in the desert, David is ready to be king. 40 days in the desert, Jesus is ready to take on his teaching ministry. 40 is preparation in the biblical use of the word. Okay, that one I may have time for. That one I don't know. Okay, these are good questions. Okay, let me go back to, here's one that raises the question about what I said about stars. In the ancient culture, I don't know if I want to open this can of worms or not, because I don't want to spend a lot of time on it. But in the ancient culture, heaven was believed to be, this is Babylonian, this is Egyptian, this is Assyrian, maybe Hittite, even ancient Greek. Heaven is this canopy over the earth. The stars represent either the gods, that would be constellations of stars, or individuals who've died and gone to be with God. So the 12 signs of the zodiac are the 12 main gods. Now, did you know, and this is, again, it's not universal, excuse me, universally accepted, each of the 12 tribes is given a symbol. Judah is the lion. Did you know those symbols are the Jewish equivalent of the 12 signs of the zodiac? And when the 12 tribes camp around the tabernacle, they're in the correct zodiac order. So it's as if God is saying, I live in heaven surrounded by my heavenly hosts. When I come down and live on earth, I'm surrounded by my earthly hosts, and they imitate that arrangement. Now, I'm not talking astrology or horoscope. That would be a pagan use of the idea. But I think there was a sense among the Jews, not literally, but that that pictures God and his heavenly angels and his heavenly hosts, those who've died and gone before us. And someday we join them. And I think that's the context in which Paul says, live like stars in the universe. And I think it's not literally you become a star as much as, hey, someday you're going to be up there with God. Why don't you live like it now? That's how I look at it. By the way, are you familiar with the ancient literary practice called inclusio? Say inclusio. That's a Greek name for it, but the Jewish writers used it too. You start a story with a small story, and you end the story with a small story, and the two stories are similar. And so in a sense, what you're saying is what I'm going to tell you is from A to Z. In Luke, what is Luke's first story? I mean, the whole story of Luke is Jesus' life and ministry, but what's his first story in Luke? Shout it out, I can't hear you. Before the birth of Jesus, even. Birth of John the Baptist. Now, what happens to John's dad in the process of that birth story? He can't talk because he doesn't have total confidence in what the angel says. You know who I am? I'm Gabriel. I stand next to God every day. What do you mean? How do I know this is going to be true? You aren't going to say anything again until... What's the last story in Luke? Oh, before I get there, what Zechariah would have had to do when he was finished praying, he would have gone out and blessed the people. But the Bible says he couldn't bless because he lost his voice. What's the last story in Luke? The Ascension. What does Jesus do only in Luke just before he ascends? He raises his hands and blesses. So Luke ends the book with Jesus doing what he shouldn't have done because he wasn't a priest. And he begins the book with a priest who should have done it but couldn't because he doesn't have faith. Isn't that cool? And so a Jew will tell you the ascension story isn't only Jesus claiming the priesthood. The ascension story is Jesus claiming the kingship, ascending to the right hand of God. The ascension story is Jesus claiming the priesthood. Because only a priest could raise his hands and bless. Now, Mark has an inclusio involving stars. In Mark's world... These are such good questions, but I've got to guard my time so preciously. In Mark's world, they had made a startling discovery. I'm not frustrated with you, I'm frustrated with me. Every year, on March 21, for 2,000 years, they knew that on March 21, the sun would rise into the place where Aries had been at night. The constellation Aries, the ram. And just before the birth of Christ, a scholar named Hipparchus had made an amazing discovery. And his discovery was that 2,000 years earlier, in Babylonian records and Egyptian records, on March 21, the sun rose in Taurus, not Aries. And that had the same effect on that culture as it would on our culture if tomorrow morning the sun came up in the west. Honestly, what do you think would happen if the sun showed up in the west tomorrow morning and went the opposite way across the sky? I mean, I think it would be stunning because it would throw into turmoil every single thing we think we know. And it would raise the question, who's big enough to change the sun? And that's exactly what they were asking. Who is more powerful enough to change the whole mechanism of the universe? Because they believed the gods were in the universe. So a watch can't fix itself. Who's changing? Honestly, if you read the literature, it was a crisis of huge proportions. Now, in answer to that, in the city of Tarsus, a religion was born called Mithra. Spread wildly through the Roman army. Mithra was a cult where the god was born on December 25 in a stable, attended by shepherds. His priests are called magi. He had seven sacraments. Speaking in tongues was common. A sacred meal. Baptism. His name was Mithra. And this religion said Mithra comes into the universe from outside. He's so powerful that he came in, changed the mechanism, he killed Taurus, and then left again. Nero claimed to be Mithra incarnate. Now, at the time Nero was saying, I'm Mithra in flesh, a man wrote a book called the Gospel of Mark to Rome. Most scholars think. I got one more piece I got to tell you. I'm way off the subject here. I don't know if I should be doing this or not. In the temple in Jerusalem, Josephus tells us, not in the Bible, Josephus tells us they had stitched the zodiac signs of the 12 tribes. So the veil of the temple represented the curtain of heaven to the Jew. Mark starts his gospel. Let me see if I can remember. After this, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. As he was coming up out of the water, the heaven was ripped open, and the Spirit of God descended like a dove. Here's how he ends his gospel. And Jesus cried out in a loud voice and breathed his last. When the centurion who was standing there heard his cry and saw how he died. I'm sorry, I missed a piece. I'll start again. Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last. And the veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom. When the centurion who was standing there heard his cry and saw how he died, he said, surely this man was the Son of God. Now notice, Mark begins his book with the heaven being torn open, and he ends his book with the symbol of the heavens being torn open, as if to say God came into his universe from the outside at the beginning, and at the moment of Jesus' death, he left again, and while he was here, he fixed it. Anyway, I think that's a fascinating study. It's called inclusio.